Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. You can hear every show live at www.ctkr.org. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Once again, www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website. Please visit us at that website. Get to learn more about us. Amen. Even pray about becoming a not only a prayer partner with this ministry, but a financial supporter as well, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Amen. If any of you would like us to touch and agree with you in prayer about anything concerning God's will for your life, or if you just want Apostle McQueen or myself to come and minister at any of your engagements as you're at our website, once again, www.ctkr.org. If you go to the Contact Us page at the top, follow those instructions, and someone will contact you within 48 hours. Amen? Amen. We also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages as well. Please go to the Facebook page and like us there. You can locate us under either Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We want to hear how this ministry and this broadcast is blessing your life. Amen. We also want to hear what God is doing and the favor that he is blessing your life with. For those of you who have been following this ministry for quite some time and supporting us, we continue to just speak blessings over you. We continue to pray for you and lift you up, letting you know that you are in our hearts, amen, and you are on our minds, and we are believing that God is doing some wonderful, magnificent things for you. We have been receiving praise reports from different people concerning the favor that God has placed upon their lives. Amen. And those are the announcements for each piece of God. Now let us go before the Lord in prayer, and then let us prepare our hearts to receive his word on tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we magnify, we glorify you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your favor that you have bestowed upon us, your people. God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for a mind that was able to serve you. We thank you for just you saving our souls, God. We thank you that you chose us because you could have chosen anyone to save. You could have chosen anyone to complete their work and their assignment in the kingdom, but you chose us, and for that we say thank you. Father, even now as we, your people, come, we humble ourselves at your right hand this evening. We humble ourselves at your feet. We ask that you would just begin to minister to the hearts, minister to the minds of your people on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name that you would begin to go to each person's home, God, and you just begin to touch and you just begin to bless and you just begin to heal and whatever you see fit that the Holy Spirit, that your people have been laboring in prayer, God, that have been toiling in prayer, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name that you would begin to work those situations out, that you would bring to order everything that is in disorder, God, that you would bring peace to the chaos, God. We ask that you would bring healing to the sick body and the sick soul and the sick mind. In the name of Jesus, that you would bring encouragement, Father, to the downtrodden, Father. We ask that you would begin to do it. Bring glory unto yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you for all that you have done and what you continue doing, God. We worship of our this evening. We
glorify him and worship him on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight's message, I just want to come from kind of piggybacking off of those of you who have been following us or who have been with us on Tuesday. My husband has been preaching a series talking about it's time to build. Amen. But I want to add to what the Spirit of the Lord has spoken unto me, that on top of the building, one of the things that we have to begin to keep in mind is that God sets leaders in place for us to follow. Amen. He puts spiritual leaders in place for you to follow, and he gives the spiritual leader a vision. And as he gives that spiritual leader that vision, it is our responsibility as those who are followers to begin to create or begin to manifest the vision that has been spoken to the man and woman of God. Amen. And one of the things that we must be very mindful in this season is that we must be able to become obedient and begin to follow, amen, the instructions and begin to trust. First of all, we need to trust the man and woman of God who is leading and shepherding over our soul. The second thing we need to do is that we must submit to the leadership, amen? As they submit to God, we're supposed to submit to them. And then as we all work together, then the vision, amen, that was spoken, that was given to the head, whether male or female, whoever God has placed in charge, as the vision, the vision that God gives the man and woman of God, we the people are to make sure that the vision comes to pass. Amen. So what I'm saying on tonight is that what the Spirit has been dropping in my soul is that we must begin to walk in obedience this year or this season more now than ever. And not only just obedient to what the leader is saying, but we really must be obedient, amen, to the voice of the Lord. For many of us, he has spoken to us concerning different areas in our lives. He has spoken to us concerning different situations,
that we need to be handling. He has spoken to us about different the favor, the blessing, amen, the manifestation of his glory that he wants to do through us, amen, in us for his for the kingdom work. However, many of us are still struggling. Many of us are still in a wayward state. Many of us are still teeter-tottering between whether we want to obey versus I want to do my own thing. Amen? And so the first scripture I want to read, because I said I'm piggybacking off of building tonight, the first scripture comes out of Psalms 127, and it says this: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Mm-hmm. And then the book of James in the New Testament says, but be ye doers of the word, hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And the word of the Lord is blessed. The Bible is full of scriptures about obedience. You know, I always talk about that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And that's very true. So for many of us, we struggle with that word obedience because we see that word obey. And most of the time when we look at that word obey, we are looking at obeying a human being. And when it comes to obeying a human being, many of us have oppositional defiant disorder in the spirit, where if someone tells us what is right and it comes from an adult or an authority figure, we have an attitude. We find a way to go opposite in the direction that they've already given us. We find a way to discredit, amen, what they're saying, because no man is going to tell me what to do. I'm grown. I pay my bills. I raise my kids. I have my own. I drive my own car. No man is going to tell me what to do. And so we take that same attitude that we display in the world, and we bring it over into the body of Christ. And even so, we bring it over when we deal with the Father. The Lord comes to you and he says, listen, son or daughter, I have need of thee. I've called you. I've ordained you. I've laid hands on you. I have a purpose for you. I have an assignment for you. I have a reason for your being. I have a reason for your existence. And yet and still, we'll say yes, Lord, with our mouth, but our hearts have another agenda. Our hearts and our minds have another way of doing things. In other words, we'll say, okay, Lord, yes, I believe you. I'll do your will. We'll say it with our mouths. We'll say it in front of people. We'll roll on the carpet. We'll slide under the chairs. We'll shout until we break a heel or break a nail. We'll shout until the hat comes off. But then when God begins to test that word, that yes that you gave him, when he begins to test that I will do whatever you say, what came out of your mouth, then we start seeing the true revelation of where you stand. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. They labor in vain that build it. And so we have men and women of God, leaders today that have been given visions, mighty visions that God wants them to produce in the earth with the allotted time that they have here on the earth. But many leaders have become tired and they have become worn out because they have hard-headed saints, amen, that are sitting in the pews with that oppositional defiant disorder demon, in reality known as the spirit of rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft, and they'll sit there in the pews and find a way to fight the vision, find a way to discredit the leader, find a way to discredit the reason for obeying. It's everybody else, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. And so we have leaders that are tired spiritually, leaders that are exhausted spiritually and worn out because they're dealing with demonic forces, amen, or yes, demonic forces and people who are intending on making sure that the vision does not come to pass. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many honorary doctorates you may have. I don't care how many people have made you the employee of the year. When you come into the house of God and you submit and you join a church, you join a facility or organization, amen, whatever the rules and regulations are of that organization, of that ministry, you submit to that way. And oftentimes the pastor, the man of God, the woman of God will come and say, this is what God has shown me. This is what God has placed in my spirit. And this is what's going to happen if we plan it out accordingly. But too often we, the people, amen, is like the word says, except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain. Many are laboring in vain because they're not allowing the spirit of the Lord to build their house. They're not being obedient, amen, to the voice of the Lord that is being spoken through the man or woman of God, spoken through the servant of God. We fight, we discredit, we put aside, we begin to push off, we begin to try to dummy down. And when I say that word dummy down, in other words, we begin to try to put our leadership on our level. Well, they're just a man and a woman just like I am. They put their pants on with one leg at a time just like I do. They have to do this just like I do. So therefore, I don't feel comfortable with it. So therefore, I have a right and I have a firm stance on not doing what they called me to do. But you're not realizing that you are a stumbling block in the way of the vision. And yet and so, within this season, you're seeing many people fall away. And even though we're seeing certain big, quote unquote, big names that God is beginning to move the candlestick and he's taking them home, there are some, their time has been fulfilled. He's removing their candlestick because their assignment is up. But then there's other, God is moving their candlestick because they've been in the way long enough. And even yet still, he's still not done, because you're going to begin to see people that have been sitting next to you for years, who've been in positions in the house of God for years, who've been holding up, been smiling in everybody's face, but secretly doing some devilment behind the scene. You're getting ready to see people begin to fall away suddenly. You didn't even know they were sick. All of a sudden, they're not here. You didn't even, all of a sudden, an accident. Something begins to happen. God begins to move people out of the way when he gets tired of folks hindering the vision, hindering the purpose, hindering the task. Because here's the reality. Except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain. In other words, it's the Lord that has the vision for his people. The servant of the Most High God, the leadership didn't wake up one day and say, "Oop, this is what I want to do." No, he gave them the vision. He poured the vision on the inside of them. He began to allow them to nurse that vision and carry that vision. And then they began to write the vision and make it plain. They put it up on tablets. They read it out before people. Then he began to birth it out through them. And as they began to speak forth his word to in the ears of the people would say, "Yes, we shall do. Yes, we shall build. Yes, we shall. I'll accomplish what you say." And so we have to get the full understanding. It is not the man's vision. It's God's vision that he places in the man. It's God's vision that he places in the leadership. And that's one of the things we have to begin to quit fighting, is thinking that the leadership is just a regular man or woman. Now, I'm not saying worship them. I'm not saying that at all. The Bible says give honor to who honor is due. You give honor and respect, but then there's a time you have to use discernment to begin to recognize when it is the man of God, woman of God, speaking to you versus just the man and woman. And for many of us, we don't want to discern. We know when there's a difference. We know when God is speaking through the man or woman of God. But for many of us, we fight that because we want to have excuses not to be obedient. And we say, well, Lord, I love you with everything that is within me. I serve you. I'm obedient to you. But he says here in the book of James 2, he said, He says right here in the book of James chapter 1 and 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because you're only deceiving yourself. In other words, it's not just enough for you to hear the word. The word becomes activated when you do the word. God counts you as obedient when you begin to walk out his word, when you begin to fulfill his wishes, his will upon your life, when you begin to see the manifestation of what he's spoken to you in the dream, in the vision, in the prophecy, in the Bible, however he's spoken to you, when you begin to see the manifestation of that thing, then you know that you are walking out and fulfilling his will and his purpose. Amen, somebody? Amen. I'll just amen myself. Amen. Listen, we have to come to a place, people of God, where this is a season that this is a strong push that I even feel in my spirit. It's a strong push because God has been dealing with many of us for a number of years. We're not new to this. We're not new to Christianity, but we're still making excuses as though we just got here yesterday. God is pushing for, he said, I'm calling for the obedient. I'm calling for those who obedience will be their portion for this season. In other words, that word portion means your inheritance, your lot, your purpose. Amen. You're not going to receive anything from God without obedience. I don't care what the prophet said, and I am one. I don't care what the evangelist said, the apostle said. I don't care what Boo said, what Bay said, what Granny said. I don't care what anybody say, what God is going to do in your life until you fulfill the first work, and that is not be a hearer but a doer, until you begin to do his will, accept his will, fulfill his will in your life, nothing else is going to happen. You're going to be on the sidelines. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be angry. You're going to be bitter. You're going to be making excuses. You're going to end up being a pew pastor. You're going to be out of order, out of sync, out of time, out of season. Do I need to go further? I can't. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Obedience is going to be vital this season. And obedience to not only to God's voice and obedience to the voice of God in his people, then we can begin to fulfill the assignment, fulfill the purpose, fulfill his plan, fulfill his will in the earth. Well, he said, except I build the house, they will labor in vain. And the Lord keeps the city, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. For those of us who are in leadership, those of you who are in leadership, let me help you. You didn't build that church by yourself. Somebody had to follow you. God had to put it up on somebody's heart to say, you know what? There's something on the inside of this person that God, I believe that God's hand is up on their life, and I believe and willingly submit to what they say, amen, for my life, because I believe that God is with them. Now, here's the thing. We can't get twisted. We can't get it out of sync to think that it is because of us that people follow. It's because of our charisma. It's because of our money. It's because of our connections. It's because of our favor. It's because we're so wonderful and everything we do seems to touch, turn to gold, and we dress sharp and we have 15 businesses going on and all kind of, I'm on this show and that show and I'm jet setting all over the world. Unless the Father allows people to submit to you, you have no authority. I'm going to say that again, because the reality is many think that it's because of them that they are the way they are, that they have the favor. It's because of how wonderful I am, how eloquent my speech is, how my swag is. is always on, and I know how to articulate the word of God, and I know when to bring revelation and when to give nuggets of knowledge and when to pause at the right moment and when to begin to bring it up to a hot fever. I know how to do all those things, and that's why my church is growing, because look at what I have built. I know so-and-so over here and bishop over there and apostle over there, and I can bring in all the big names from all over the world. Even those who do not even have that level of favor, we have those on the local favor that believe that as soon I own this city, that when I begin to speak, the minute I open up my mouth and the doors, I give the nod in the city, and people come running from the left and the right because I own this city. Listen, if God did not give you favor, if he did not allow people to submit to you, if he did not allow his hand up on you, his anointing up on you, then guess what? You're building, or you as the watchman, you're waking, but you're waking in vain. Never forget who it is that caused you to be where you are. Ha. I know you thought it was you. You thought it was you. You thought so when Bishop so-and-so, you know, ordained you and put his stamp of approval on your back, you know, so that gave you that extra oomph. You thought it was you because he or she brought you before certain people, you know, this is my son and my daughter, and, you know, just begin to receive them. And, you know, you really thought it was you because then you know, soon as they saw people, soon as they saw your name or so-and-so gave you the quote-unquote the endorsement, all of a sudden certain doors began to open for you. Listen, don't get caught up in the doors opening for you and you miss the purpose that God has for you. The Lord keeps the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. Unless the master puts his stamp of approval on you, his anointing upon you. You can do a whole lot, but nobody will even hear your voice. You'll be another voice in the wind. You'll be another voice in the wind. Ephesians 6 and 5 says this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, when I'm looking at the word master here, we're going to put those who are in leadership over us. He said, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, you give that respect. You give that yes. You give that obedient to them as unto God, for those who are true leaders. What's so funny about it to me is that we have a lot of individuals who are in leadership and leading people, but they're not leading, they're more so leading them with an iron fist. It's not a respect thing. It's more of a, I'm standing on your back until you're just a stepping stone for me to get to the next greater. And you have those who are submitting to them, giving all they have, all they can, doing everything they can do with their strength and their resources. And you have leaders controlling them with iron fist and choking the living life out of them, and yet not giving them or birthing them or maturing them in the things of God, so that they will never come into the fullness or into fruition or the manifestation of what God has ordained for them. And then we have people walk away when their eyes are finally open. We have individuals that end up walking away disgruntled, walking away mad at God, walking away thinking that every church is always on some other stuff, or thinking every leader wants their money, thinking everyone is a user in the church. Ain't nobody saying, I don't want to go over there because of one person who did not use them or took advantage of them, whether it was physically, whether it was emotionally, amen, whether it was financially, they took advantage of them. Here's the thing, leaders, and this is another thing that the Lord's been hammering in my heart. We have to realize that we are servants. First and foremost, we are servants. The higher you go, the lower you must be in humility. That's why true men and women of God go through some serious stuff. Why do they go through? Because the flesh has to constantly be mortified. The flesh has to constantly be killed. Because human nature wants to be lifted up. Human nature wants to be loved and rewarded and have people, you know, do whatever that they say do without any question. And so God has to chip away at those things to make sure that our hearts do not become hard and callous. Amen. And that we don't lead people, his people, astray, because he has enough of that right now. Amen. He said, and we know, excuse me, if you are willing, if you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you trust the man and the woman of God, if you trust the servant of God to lead you, if you come into the house to not be one that comes in and want to assert authority, but you're one to submit to authority. And here's the interesting thing. You can tell, and I'll just be a little transparent, being a leader in the house that co-pastors along with my husband, God has given me a chance to learn the different motives when people come into the house of the Lord. We've had, when we first started ministry, and I was new to really understanding how to pastor his people, pastor his sheep. My husband was already in leadership a while before I even got there, so this was all new to me. But one of the things that is very detrimental in leadership is that people will come to divide you. If they can get the head, they get a word. They're like, this is what we're going to do. This is the vision. This is where we're going. The first thing that people do, when you could tell when they're trying to, when they're walking in it, as I say, that oppositional defiant disorder, they want to divide and conquer the head. So what they'll do oftentimes is, the pastor, the leader, will say something, and then they'll go to the spouse and ask the same question, but they'll word it a different way, trying to get the spouse's response and answer to it. And they'll come stroking your ego. They'll come speaking words of fluff. They'll come as a friend. They'll come as one who's concerned. They'll come as sometimes it'll even be a prayer warrior. Sometimes it's one that God has you training that you're trying to pull in close because you're going to bring them up to the next level, you know, trying to birth out their giftings. And they'll come and they'll say, well, has not pastor, you know, pastor said, hey, but what do you say? And if you're not careful and if you can't discern, amen, what the enemy is trying to do, your flesh will rise up and you'll feel like, you know what? Well, I hear from God too, Cora. I hear from God too. And you know, I know that's what the pastor said, but, you know, I'm not really in agreement with that either. So I feel that we should do this. And that's what you think? I was thinking the same thing too, Pastor. I'm standing in agreement with you. And before you realize what has fully transpired, you have a church that's divided right down the middle. And the house cannot further, the vision cannot be pushed along because you have two different hearts of opinion. And in order, you have to understand God is a God of order. God does not operate in no type of chaos. If he comes to chaos, he comes to chaos to bring it into order. He comes to chaos to bring peace in the situation. He doesn't come to sit back and cross his legs and say, well, I'll just let this exist because this is something normal to me. Oh, no. He sees things that are out of order, and he immediately puts and sets them in order. But what happens, people of God, is too often we have people that will sit in the middle of chaos and set camp there, amen, and set up shop there and move in that and try to operate and talking about, well, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Well, the devil is a lie. No, he's not there. It's your flesh being in operation. It's your flesh ruling and abiding, and God cannot operate in the spirit. His flesh will not be lifted up before him. It stinks in his nostrils. And so we, his people, so what ended up happening, being a little bit transparent, continuing on with the story, before I recognized what happened, all of a sudden I realized that I was in opposition, and not even seeing it, I was in opposition of what my leader was saying. And it wasn't until God revealed it, and when he did reveal it, yes, I ended up nipping it in the bud. I ended up killing it, nipping it in the bud, but it had taken months before I recognized what happened, and I, sorry to say, but damage had already been done. When I should have seen what was coming and killed that immediately and realized that the house cannot be built with two. Everyone must be in agreement. And when you walk in agreement, how can two walk together except they agree? When there's no agreement in the house, you can tell and you can see that spirit running rampant in a church, rampant in a home. You can tell who is when a household is out of order. You can tell when a church house is out of order, because there's two different spirits in operation and they're constantly in war with each other. So you'll have people that will sit and say, I'm with the pastor. And you'll have other people that will try to birth a feminine church right in the house of God. And, well, I'm with the first lady. And whatever the first lady says, I'm going to do. But how, if you as the leader are submitted, if you're married, amen, and as, and your spouse, you as a spouse must take responsibility and kill that demon immediately, kill that spirit of witchcraft is really what it is, and begin to submit, bring yourself into alignment with whatever your husband or your spouse has said. Because, baby, if you don't, you will have a mess on your hands. You hear me? And before you even know it, the people will be running the church instead of the leadership. And I and my husband can testify that we have been in houses. God has allowed us to be in houses where the leadership was just a figurehead. It was the people in the pew that were running the church. And you know what? God wasn't there. His spirit wasn't there. Oh, it looked good on the outside. They had the programs in place. But when it came time to the spirit of the Lord revealing himself and manifesting himself, he was not there. Oh, yes, it's the truth anyhow. And some leaders are struggling right now because they have a divided house. Well, I speak to you today that you need to take back the authority of your house in the name of Jesus. You need to cast down that spirit of witchcraft and rebellion in your house. You need to root it out in your house in the name of Jesus. Tell the devil where to go. You have the authority. You have the victory. Begin to open up your mouth and speak into your atmosphere. Begin to speak what you want to see, but make sure as you're speaking that you are in alignment first with his word. It's something that God spoke to me. He said, before you speak my word, he said, you need to make sure that you're in alignment with my word. I had to clap myself on that one. Because many of us are speaking the oracles of God, but we're not in alignment with the oracles of God. And we want to put everybody else in order. But how many of you know that whatever's on the inside of you begins to go out, comes out? So if I'm out of order, if I'm living in chaos and wretchedness, then every time I open up my mouth, I'm spewing out chaos and wretchedness all over the people. And then I wonder why all of a sudden my church members are acting crazy, or wherever God plants me, I'm wondering why things can't seem to come together, because I'm out of order. I'm out of alignment. I will not allow him to allow myself to come into obedience. Well, it's not just the works only. Faith, I'm just going to say this part of scripture, faith without works is dead. We know that scripture. But without obedience, you can't work the faith which works the works. You have to be obedient to what he says in all things. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand, prophetess. I know the word obedient, that word obey is a hard thing. Why? Because our nature, our human nature within us does not want to become confined. It does not want to begin to align ourselves with what the master says, but the Bible strictly says, unless he builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. But you know what the reality is? Is that many of us don't trust God with our lives. We don't trust God with our destiny. We don't trust God with him fulfilling the assignment that he has on our life. For one, some of us don't want to go through the process. Or some of us are dealing with past issues. Maybe you had a mother or a father that was very very strong and domineering. So when you come to God, you're like, when I get up out from under this, I promise ain't nobody else going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. So when you come into the house of God, or if you come into an atmosphere where anybody begins to walk in authority or begins to tell you that there's something that's out of order that needs to be corrected, something in you begins to rage up, rise up, and begins to fight. You don't even know why you're fighting half the time. It's just you're fighting because I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I'm going back to my childhood days when I had to be under the foot or under the strong arm of a parent that was very dominant and domineering and very harsh and cruel. And I just promised myself that when I came out from under that thing, that I will not submit to anybody. Nobody will make me feel. Nobody's going to make me do. Nobody's going to put me in a place where I can, where I'm helpless, where I have no power, where I have no voice. Well, baby, you got to get healed from that thing. The Bible strictly says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, in order for you to follow someone, that means you have to obey what the voice that they're, that you have to obey their voice, or you're obeying the words that are coming forth out of their mouth. And we struggle with those things, But yet we want to quote all day long, it's my season, it's my time, it's my purpose. I'm getting all that. It's double for my trouble. I'm getting everything back that the devil stole from me. But here is the kicker, people of God. You can't even tell the devil where to go with the authority when you are not submitted under authority. That's why y'all heck been raising and railing in your home, because you yourself are not submitted. Oh, I submit unto God. That's what the Bible says, submit. But it says submit to God. And resist the devil, and he will flee. But that word submit, which is also obey, we're right back to that word obedience. The Bible is full of scriptures about obedience. I know people try to take it out, and we're trying to quote everything else. And honestly, I hear a lot of quotes, but I hardly, very seldom hear quotes about obedience. Because we want the fruit, but we don't want the labor to birth the fruit. We don't want to go through the labor it takes to get the fruit. Even when you see, it was something interesting. My husband and I were driving one day, and we happened to pass by a field, a large field that was out there. It looked like a farmer created it. And then I think it was tomatoes or something that was out there. And I noticed that in the field, they had people that were out there picking the tomatoes. One group was picking the tomatoes. Another group was tilling the ground. Another group was putting the seeds in. Everybody had their job. Everybody had their task. And then as we were passing by, I was just kind of harping on it. I said, all we seem to see is the final product, but we don't see what it takes to get to the final product. And herein lies the problem with a lot of people, is that they see the final product and they just want that only. But when the person begins to take them back and say, no, you can't just get this. You have to go all the way back here in order to see what the process is. I had to get a seed. And then when I found the seeds, I had to find the ground. And then when I found the ground, I had to till the ground, get the weeds up, get the grass up, get all the bad stuff out the way. Then I had to cultivate the ground. And after I cultivated the ground, then I put the seed in the ground, covered up the seed, had to water, had to fertilize, had to make sure all the birds and the insects stayed away and the animals stayed away so they didn't eat up the seed. And I had to do that on a regular basis for a number of months, maybe weeks or months. And then I began to see the fruit. But even when I saw the fruit was in a small state, and I still had to make sure that the weeds weren't taken. I had to make sure there was no fungus on. I had to continuously harbor and begin to work at it and begin to build it and put my hands in it and begin to labor over it. And now what you see is the finished product, but you don't know what it took me to get to the end. And that's where we miss it so often, because we try to jump steps in the spirit. We try to jump steps in the natural, and we try to jump steps in the spirit. And all the while we're doing that, we're missing God. We're missing the point that the very purpose that he called, what he's asked us to do is to be obedient. You're not going to see the red apple, the red fruit, the fruit, whatever he's called you to. You're not going to see that manifestation until you follow the steps of obedience to get there. And that's why you're frustrated, and that's why you're going to everybody's conference, and that's why you're paying all this big money and sitting up here listening to these quote-unquote motivational coaches, career coaches, who claim that they're pastors in leadership. I have my own issue with that already. But you're sitting here listening to people and giving them money, making them fat, making them rich, or you're going home poor, broke, busted, and disgusted and angry at God because you're not seeing what you need to see. When all God said was, I need you to obey and go back to the very first thing I told you to do. When you begin to do that, when you begin to accept my will, accept my way, and do that, then things will begin to change for you. Then things are going to begin to process. Then things are going to be easier for you. Then it's going to be, you'll begin to see the fruit, the manifestation of the promise. But God has to be in it. We're trying to put everybody else in it. We're trying to build boards and build all kind of connections, and we're trying to connect with people, and doors are getting slammed in our faces, and we're trying to connect with folks on Facebook who you know you will never see, but you know that, you know, this is so-and-so big, and if I befriend them, I'm connected to them, that ought to be enough. No, that's not enough, because that person who's at that level is not telling you what they really went through to get at that level. They're telling you, join me, come here, meet me over here, I'll give you 3 steps so you can get to, but in reality, those 3 steps are something that anybody can do. You can look it up on YouTube. You can look it up on the internet. You can do those 3 steps, but you done wasted all your money, wasted your time, your resources, and your energy. And you still have not gotten anywhere. Had them lay hands on you. Poured the oil on you, slathered and slapped you out. Rolled you up under the benches somewhere. And yet and still, here it is, 2 years later, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years later, and you're still sitting there talking about where's God. When all the while, God is saying to you, what have I told you to do first? Accept the Lord. We got to follow the blueprint, people of God. We must follow the blueprint. Even whatever we build, whatever God has told us to build, wherever God has stationed you to be, wherever he's planted you to be, you still have to be submitted. You still have to allow God to build it. Oh, I know it's hard. I'll be the first to tell you. It wasn't easy because I wanted the quick, fast, and the hurry. I wanted to do it my way, as Frank Sinatra said. And hopefully Frank Sinatra made it into the kingdom. But if he didn't, he did it his way. And many of us are still trying to do it our way, thinking that we can outsmart God, thinking that we don't have to listen to nobody, thinking that we can build and do, we know better, we're better, we can build or do without anybody's help. It's all about me. He said, if you do, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. How long are you going to toil with it? How long are you going to make excuses? How long are you going to still fight? I feel. I believe. Let me have it my way. If Jesus thought that way, wouldn't none of us be saved? Now, here's what happens when we do align ourselves, when we quit struggling spiritually, when we quit struggling in our minds, when we quit trying to figure out and quit looking at other people saying, well, they got it like this, so I must be doing it wrong because I'm not doing it like them, and I'm nobody unless I'm doing it like them. Well, Job 36:11 said this, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. I'm going to read that again. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So, we're serving God. We're obeying him and his word. But that also means that we have to obey those he has placed in authority over our souls. You can't half do it, baby. You can't half do it. Cannot half do it. Obey those who have rule over you. Submit to those who have rule over you. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. I don't know about you, but for me, I can only speak for prophetess. Things are not going to come manifest. My words of wealth and prosperity and riches will not come unless I walk in obedience. Same thing for you. The peace, the joy, whatever it is that you've been seeking God for, that word that you've been waiting for him to manifest in your life for the past 25 years, you still waiting by the brook. Waiting by the brook. Waiting for the raven to feed you when God pretty much has allowed the raven to go a long time ago and you're still waiting by the brook. And all he's asking you to do is turn and go northward. For you have encompassed this mountain long enough. And you're crying out to God and you're begging God and why, Lord, and when are things going to change? And all he's saying is, I just need you to submit. Just submit, obey. And when you do that, it's so hard. It's hard because you make it hard. Everything can be blamed on the devil. We just have to take responsibility for our own mess. Our own desires. And lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Hmm? Everything ain't the enemy. Everything ain't people. Sometimes it's the, as they've been preaching for years, it's the enemy within me. You don't want. You don't feel like it. You don't have a desire. So you can't get mad that you still staying there in Lodibar. You can't mad that he got you in the cave. You can't get mad that you on the corner in the back on the backside of the desert. Can't get mad at it. But until you say yes with your whole heart, whole mind, then you shall eat the good of the land. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I bless you. I thank you. Thank you for this word, God. Father, I pray right now that this word will begin to change a life on today, change all of our lives, God. Begin to put in us, give us a heart to obey you. Give us a heart to pursue after you. Give us a heart to accept your will and your purpose for our lives. Give us a heart, God, to begin to say yes and then turn, repent and then turn and embrace what you've called us to do. Help us, Father, to line up with our leadership, God, that whatever they ask, as those that are true men and leaders, that men and women of God, true leaders that you've called, that we would line ourselves up with their vision that you've given them and then pursue after it and manifest it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please pray this prayer with me if you are not saved and you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me, cleanse me in the precious blood of Jesus. I'll serve you all my days. Make me whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, we're here at Christ the King. We want you to find and be led by Spirit, be led spiritually to find a Bible-believing and teaching ministry that's going to train you and birth you and mature you into the things of God. Amen. Also, I want to remind you, meet us, join us again on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another broadcast of Kingdom Lifestyles with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and then go to our website, www.ctkr.org, and even hit us up on our Facebook pages. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I love each and every one of you, and I will see you again next Thursday for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. Be blessed in his name.